actual number to be delayed, because our message this morning is twofold. One, I've been asked to summarize last year. So I want to do that, and then we'll go into, it's not very long, we don't have a lot of things happen. We've had some things happen that we don't have any answers for. And then we'll go into a worship service that I have entitled, The Power of the Cross. And the song, when you hear it, you'll see how it fits directly. It's a chorister song, and I guess they just haven't sung it very much. But when I heard it today, I was brought to tears. Because there isn't anything better, bigger, more important than the message of the cross. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Because the message of the cross includes that there is a hell, and a hell will be dealt with by God. We'll all appear before God. There is no way of getting around. There's no one with an excuse. No excuse. You know by the very fact. And that's what it is. But first of all, let's bow in a prayer for a moment. Lord, we're thankful to be together today. We ask thy divine blessing upon each one that has attempted to come. We pray for those unable to be here. We ask your blessing that it be done in your way. Because this might be the year that our Lord will return in glory. And we pray that everyone will be ready when he does come. We thank thee for this time together. We ask for your power to be displayed, that we would know that we have been in the presence of God. And when we leave here, that we have been changed because we've been here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Summary of 2012. It is a little bit difficult, and if something happened that I don't have a list of it, I would appreciate it if you'd come and if you'd tell me, or if I have something wrong. I'm not a statistician, but I like to keep sort of a diary, and I don't always remember to do it when I should, and so in catching up, I make mistakes. I want to talk about the births first. March 13, Paul and Cindy's granddaughter, little Madeline Heston, was born. And on March 25th, another granddaughter, this was Adolf and Linda, Sheila Webel. They live in Cincinnati. On June the 2nd, God blessed a family by giving them a little girl. We call her Edison Ray Whitmore. And unfortunately, on July 15th, she was called home also. And it's been our prayer at home that God would look into that, that God would make up that difference. And I think he does. But little Edison Whitmore, no one can go, that was here, at least for the funeral, can go home and think that they're the same. On August the 18th, little Callie Diane Heyer, that is Rachel and Ron's little girl, and they're not here today. They're ill. You know, little kids always bring all kinds of things home, and so that's one of the things. And then the last one I have here was November the 10th, Olive, Sophia Trifew, Brother Alan, your granddaughter. We saw her last week. I almost was brave enough to ask to hold her, but I didn't want to. There's nothing like a little baby fresh from the hands of God, still having the print of angels on them. I saw her when she had her eyes closed, and I thought, I was glad. Deaths, we had January 16th, Sister Candy, your mother, died in Florida. On January 18th, Jeremy, they're not here today, they're on their way home, Sister Linda died in Denver. And of course, I mentioned July 15th, baby Edison Whitmore. July 31, Brother Ken Cervini went to be with the Lord. And one of the things I would like to ask at this point in time, I want to ask it publicly, those of you that have prayer meetings, the scriptures tell us we're to pray for our widows. Let's do it. Mark it down. Name them by name. Nobody knows what a widow goes through until they become one. Of course, I won't be a widow, but we need to be sensitive to what God asks us to pray for. We don't have complete liberty to pray. We can bring everything to the Lord, but it needs to be in His will. October the 5th, all of us were saddened when we heard Kirsten Cervini taken in an untimely death. And November 23rd, Sister Marilyn Jankov from Worcester, and we had the funeral, we had the reception here for that. So that had, they have a special place in our heart. We only had one wedding last year, and it was not directly involved, but it was involved, Brother Dan and Annette, you, or your son Phil and Heidi Buisman in Minnesota. Other events. Last year we had the 36th annual barbecue. We served approximately 450 meals. The total that was, or the last figure that I heard was $9,250. What I thought was great was that we had the Brunswick Hills Choir join our people here, and I really enjoyed that personally. And December the 13th, we had our 20th annual Christmas instrumental concert. And Brother Dave, when you asked me a couple weeks ago what it was, I said 24. I was wrong. It was 20 years. But I didn't have my notes with me then and looked it up since. It's 20 years that we've done that. The other that all of us are probably interested to some degree, we've had one in October 13th. Adolf had surgery, and there were others that I didn't exactly, Brother Phil and a number of others that had medical issues, physical issues that we pray for, and that's a good thing. We had two blood drives, January 1st and June the 16th, which both seemed to be pretty good. I personally have been blessed by seeing the enthusiasm, and among them were some of our visitors that were here when the church was working with the blessings in a backpack. And I remember particularly, I think it was George Saladi was here, and he and I were sitting and eating lunch, and Carol and you and Cindy were, and Paul, you were preparing to load up the bags. And George says, "What's going on?" So I got a chance to tell him. Do you know what he did? I don't know how much it was, but he pulled out his checkbook and he says, "That's something I approve of." And he wrote a check. I didn't look at the check because I'm too embarrassed to do that. I'll let the treasurers do that. It is a worthwhile project. 96 youngsters are being fed as of about a week ago. Cindy, has that changed? 95? That has changed. Maybe I heard that wrong. Okay. I personally think that it's one of the greatest things we can do is feed our future. Feed the kids. There are parents walking around, and God forbid that it's one of them here, that don't take care of their own children. Can't feed them because of some of their bad habits that they have. But this is the kind of world we live in. I like the idea of the blessings in a backpack. And you're to be congratulated for starting and for keeping it up. And you have our support. When I say our support, I am the our, and I believe that all of us do. I was a little disappointed that the Cider Fest had to be canceled because of lack of interest. I think that's a very worthwhile, and I'm going to encourage Paul. I don't see you, Paul. Are you in here? That you pursue that again for this year. A number of people signed up, and I'm sure they were disappointed also. We had two missionary visits this year, August 23rd. Bud Simon was here, Brother Bud preached, and we appreciated that. And December 13, Oscar Caballero. And three other things that I was noteworthy. One was March 15th, Jimmy Hodges preached here. He represented the foundation. Harry Reinhardt was here on April the 26th. In July, we had Brother Joe Greninger as visitor. One other thing I want to mention, and that is, if you haven't gotten a list out in the back, this is a list of Bible reading in a year, reading through the Bible. I don't know, Brother L, where you get it. If you put this together yourself, it looks like it might be a combination of things. Pick one up. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, say so. There are Bibles laying around here in the back here that have been here for, 2 months? Belong to somebody. If there's a name on there, I would have given it to you, but I don't see any names on them. The ones that had names, I made sure that they went to people. Because sometimes I leave mine here too. Not very often, but I sometimes do it. I want to encourage. There are some other things that have happened in church here. I appreciate our prayer meetings very much. The prayer, in including the early prayer that was encouraged today. And there are some other things. I enjoyed the singing. I enjoyed our Christmas concert. Dave, I want to thank you for that, because you're primarily responsible. We kind of look to you for that. And some of the other things that are worthwhile. There are some things going on that I do not think are good also, that are not unifying in this church. God forbid that I should be accused ever of dividing knowingly. We need to be careful that there is fervent love shared among the brothers. We need to be careful that we maintain our families. There are our young brothers, our young families are having difficult times. We need to give them the teaching and the support that they deserve. They're losing their children and they don't know it. They're making decisions. Satan has that innate ability to come at the wrong time, attack the brothers that preach, attack the leaders, attack those who are in the most vulnerable positions with things that are worldly, things that are not right. We need to pray for them. We need to support them. Particularly those of us that are older. We paid a price. This life is not about what happens to me or to you. It's what happens to our young people. That's why we feed the future. We need to worry about their eternal food also. That is all I have from that standpoint. I want to tell you, before I call the trio up in a special number, I want to tell you, I've known for probably, 2 months? Martin, how long has the schedule been out that I was supposed to have the message today? And immediately the Lord laid it on my heart, preach about the cross. We don't hear much about the cross. We hear much about other things, about benefits, about things that, things that are, they're worldly. We need to get back to what really matters. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Last night, Arlene went to bed. I don't remember what time it was, but I had my outline. I had some of the things that I wanted to say. I wanted to review again what I had gone over. And wouldn't you know it, like it often happens, God gave me a verse that is about as appropriate for today as any there is. I hadn't thought about it till last night, about 10:45. I read it, I prayed about it, I wept a little bit, I went to bed, woke up at 3 o'clock with the words ringing of Titus chapter 2. I want to read it, and then you brothers come up here and have the special number. I want to read chapter 2 in Titus. I want you to look at it with me. I'm going to wait till you look at the scriptures in front of you. Whatever translation you have, I don't know. I read it in the King James, and that's good enough for me. I understood it, and I was challenged by it. Go to verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 2 of Titus. Okay, if you have it, look up. And I want to tell you, I haven't slept since 3 o'clock because of this word. The last verse in this Bible, in this verse says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. What things are they? This we have license to teach. This we have license to preach. This we have license to share. Nothing else. And that is, listen to here. Verse 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all the iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Brothers, those of us that teach, those of us that want to teach, those of us that speak, here's what we're supposed to do. And we're to do it with authority. Why with authority? Because it's God saying it. Rebuke, exhort. In other words, we're to declare it. What is it? Looking for teaching us the denying ungodliness. There's a no to be said, and there's a yes to be said. I want to talk about the cross in a few moments, but I want to invite the special number up here at this time. Brothers, I enjoyed it this morning. Let's glorify God again. Use the microphone so that the words, listen to the words too.
Test.
What can take a dying man, raise him up to life again? What can heal a wounded soul? What can make us white as snow?
What can fill the emptiness? What can mend our brokenness? Brokenness. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the lowly cross. Where the restores our faith in God, what reveals the Father's love, what can lead the wayward home, what can melt a heart of stone, what can free the guilty ones, what can save and overcome, mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb lay down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power cross.
It's a miracle to me.
And it's still a mystery. It's a miracle to me, the power of God for those who believe. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power.
is amen. Thank you, brothers. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. There are people looking at the cross, want it done away with, nationwide, worldwide, particularly in some areas in this society. They will have no room for the cross because the cross speaks powerfully. It does things nothing else can do. We have pictures in the scriptures beginning with Genesis chapter 2, all the way through, talking about the cross. Pictures, I want to go through probably two or three with your help. Why? Why? Do you know why? Because there are some people in this room who are not ready if the Lord should come this year. Not ready. And part of it is my fault. I haven't told the story as it ought to be told. It ought to be told that God gave His life for you, that He loved you. Beloved, I spoke to somebody within a week or two. In fact, they go to church here. They had a dream. He's not here today, so maybe I'm the only one that knows this. Said he had a dream. He's standing in front of God, and God said to him one of the things. And he's, the way I understood it, and I was kind of. Trying to leave, and someone was talking to me, and sometimes this happens to me. Then I get half the story, and I get the half that's wrong. But this time I think it wasn't that way. It says God asked him one question. He says, you had the opportunity to tell the story. Did you tell them that I love them? And the brother said to me, I have never felt the same since I've had that dream. Did you tell them that I love them? Do you know that Jesus loves you? I do. And there are numbers that do. But beloved, if that's the only question that will be asked, did we tell that story of Jesus loving us enough to go to the cross, enough to die for us, enough to suffer persecution, enough to be charged by false witnesses, enough to go, and when He could have called 10,000 angels to set Him free, but He didn't do it because He loved you and He loved me. Do you know it? Some of you don't believe it. Because you haven't been baptized. You came here all last year, fooling around as though you had all of life. Excuse me. I think I got the call. I got this cold or this cough about a week ago, and I think Satan sent it. Beloved, God loves you. One of the pictures that I want to talk about is of God's love. And I'll do that one first. Go with me to Exodus 31. Do you have it? Look up. Okay, let's read it together. Only 6 verses. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the 7th he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door of, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever, and so forth. This is a love story. This is a story of a man. And if the minimum background is, apparently this man indebted himself somehow, and he was taken on by a master to pay off his debt. Like many of you do when you borrow money to go to school or whatever, somehow you got indebted. But what you need to know is the owner then becomes the master. And in this case, the scriptures are very clear. It says, if he comes in with a wife, he can leave. He has to serve 6 years. Number one, this is a Hebrew servant. There was a perfect Hebrew servant. And Brother Eric, you talked about that this morning. You didn't call him the perfect one, but that's the same one. Throughout the scriptures, he's the Hebrew servant. And it says here that if he came in by himself, he can go out by himself. He can go free. The American way, go free. Leave every responsibility behind. Let someone else worry about it. You serve me because I'm number one. No. Here it says, if he come in by himself, he can go out by himself. But if his master have given him a wife, and she has borne sons or daughters, and the year comes, the 6th year comes, or the 7th year, when he can go free, the master gives him a choice. You can go free. And in the story here, he can remind the master, I have served you, and now I'm ready to go. And the scriptures tell us that, however, if he loves his wife, loves his master, and his children, that he can plainly say that he will not go free. That is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. When he looked at you, when he looked at me, when he saw us lost, condemned to hell, to die forever separated from God. He looked, and it says here, all he can do is he can tell, plainly say, I will not go free. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. And then he says, I will not go free. Then the master can take him to the door, to the doorpost. And at that doorpost, he can bore his ear through with an awl. He's marked forever that he chose not to go free. That he loved his master, that he loved his wife, that he loved his children. Picture of our Lord Jesus. I want to use my imagination, and let's go. That master is now my age. He and his wife are alone at home. Kids are gone, kids are married. And one day they woke up and he went to work like he has done all his life. But his wife, all day long, she's thinking about, she remembers when her husband stood before the master, when he could have gone free, but he loved me. He loved the children. He loved the master. And she remembers when he stood up bravely and he said, I will not go free. And they took him to the doorpost, and he held his ear, and he bored it through with an awl, and blood ran down. You see, everything is sealed by blood when it comes to the Scriptures. And she remembers that. And all day long, as her husband is going, I'm going to name him John. Is anybody in here named John? Okay, good. Her name is Miriam for our conversation. Miriam's thinking about John all day. And it's getting afternoon, and she's thinking about about their life and how good it was. And so she decides to cook his favorite meal. By then she already knows what he likes. She cooks his favorite meal. And she arranges the furniture just right, so she fixes it and keeps looking. John, she notices him coming around the corner, coming up the sidewalk to the house. And she remembers he's come this way all of their married life. Every evening he came home to her. Came in and she got his favorite chair, sat down in. And as he sat there, she kind of snuggled up to him, sat on his lap. The sun was kind of low on the sky and shining through the windows. And unconsciously, she reaches up and touches his ear. The ear that was when he was young and when he was strong and when he stood before his master and he stood before the magistrates and he stood before their children and he said, I love my master and I love my wife and I love my children. I will not go free. And she says, oh, how brave and strong. And so alone he looked to me. And she remembers. Revelation, in the first part of Revelation, we read, there is a time when we will be able to go up and see our Lord Jesus and see the wounds where he was wounded in the house of his friends. You and I, we'll get the opportunity to go and touch where he was wounded for us. Because he said, I will not go free. I could have called. Scriptures say he could have called. And there's a song that talks about calling 10,000 angels, isn't there, or something? The Bible says legions of angels would have come immediately on the spot. But I was not really impressed by this until about a week ago. We had Bible class lesson here. And I think Dave, you had it. And there was a chance remark made. There was not a chance. It was for this man that I would remember it. And the remark was made, and Dave, you made it somehow. I don't remember just how, but I know what it did to me. The remark was this, that God gave himself for us when he could have done everything else. The statement was in regards to giving, that it is not giving unless it is of ourselves. When we give and give of our goods or of our overflow or of our whatever we have, that's not real giving. It's not real giving until it is us. We give of ourselves. And that's what God illustrated. He did it himself. No one else. You know why that is? Because sin is so terrible. It is so devastating. It is so ugly. It is so bad. You see it every day on those little square idiot boxes that comes into your house. Sin. glorified by the world. But it's ugly in the sight of God, and no one else, there was no one else that could pay. No one. It was this man who went and said, I will not go free. He did go this far in Gethsemane when he said, not my will, but thine be done. It was settled. He paid the price. He paid the price for your redemption, for my redemption. He paid the price. He went to the cross. He who was God, he who could have gone, given 10,000 worlds if that's what the cost was. He could have done whatever it needed to be done. He had everything at his disposal. He not only owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, he owned the hills. He could have given it all. But he didn't. He did it himself. He died for us. Young man and young woman, he died for you. Make no mistake about it. Don't listen to those people that will tell you. Don't go to the educators. Don't go to those. All they want to boast about how much they know, how much they disagree with everybody. No, we're to declare this with all authority. God was so clear to me last night that I couldn't sleep. Because it doesn't help when you're coughing all the time either. We're to do it, we're to preach it with authority. We're to say, you're condemned, you're going to hell unless you die, unless you come to the cross. What did the brothers say? You know, I wanted them to sing afterwards too, and they said that would be overdoing it. Maybe it would. I don't know. That's one picture. That's the picture of love. There's another one I want to mention to you. Appreciate if you turn that off and leave it off. I'm almost hurt by somebody doing this. Chapter 49 of Isaiah. I want you to see another picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 49. I want to look at first three verses. This is talking again about our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, talking about the price he paid because he loved his bride, because he loved you, and because he loved me. It's another picture of our Lord. How do I know? It says, the servant. This is a servant. And there is only one servant that the scriptures talk about that they praise. Listen to what it says here. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. To me, that is another clear picture of our Lord Jesus Christ in prophecy. I want to dramatize this one also a little bit. What it refers to, what it points to, is a man with a quiver full of arrows. One of the arrows, however, is the straightest arrow that he could have found. That's how they used to make arrows. They'd go out and they'd find wood that grew. The straightest one that they had would always be chosen for an arrow. This would be our Lord Jesus Christ compared to everyone else. He was straight. No one else is straight. Everyone else is condemned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is salvation in none other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. It's His servant's name. He has a name. And the angel said, name Him Jesus from His mother's womb. And He's Jesus. Jesus Christ. Who has ever worked with wood? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Is it broken? Raise your hand, please. Yeah, some of you go like this. You have not worked wood. Tell you why. Take a shaft. I have some round shafts at home. We have some around here. I have taken them and I have smoothened them. And I've taken sandpaper, and I have taken and put them in a this thing that goes around, whatever that's called, sanding them. And that's what it compares the Savior, our Lord, to a polished shaft. What is a polished shaft? A polished shaft is a shaft that was selected to be put among the arrows, but this was especially finished, if you want to call it. Smooth with sandpaper. Now, we all do that. I do that. What if the wood could say all of a sudden, look, why are you hurting me? Because I'm pushing a little hard with the sandpaper. It doesn't do that. See, Jesus didn't say a word either when it came and they slew Him, slapped Him, hit Him, had Him carry His own cross. That's a picture of Him. That's a price He paid because He was wounded for our transgression, and the chastisement of our sin was laid upon Him. And the Scriptures tell us that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we who knew no righteousness, I added that part, would be made righteous. That's what happened. And we're to tell that story. We're to repeat it. We're to declare it. Beloved, if Jesus Christ, if our Lord would return this year, I use that because I like that song. But doesn't say that. If the Lord would return today, you know, that's the way the song goes. And if I was looking for the song, Brenda, I was going to, I didn't find it in one of the church books, but this could be the day that the Lord returns in glory. And if you were called before the judgment seat of Christ, and He would ask you, did you know that I loved you? What would you say? What would you say? Oh, yes, yes. The preacher said, in fact, it's his favorite song, Jesus Loves Me. Oh, yeah, I knew about it. What did you do about it? See, love, this kind of love, depends on you and I reciprocating. It's not good enough to know. That's what's happening today. We send our kids to higher school, you know, to these halls of higher learning. They come home, they know so much, and they don't know enough to have faith in God. They lose what little bit they have because some professor is standing there and has all the answers and says, he's the authority. Where do we get some of that stuff? Where is some, you know, in some of the stuff that I'm reading, repeatedly I'm hearing that, or reading about faith is disappearing from this country. Our world is collapsing. That, if it's legal, it's all right. No. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. Some of our most confused people sit in seats where they influence young and where they influence others. Beloved, God's word this morning said, I have to do it with all authority.
I don't have authority. I have only authority to speak. I have only authority to say what happened to me. When I went to the cross, God changed me. I repented of my sins. And you know, there's something pretty interesting that I started to mention it in Titus. I want you to go back to Titus with me. Please turn to Titus chapter 2. Oh, it's here somewhere. And I'll be done in about 3 minutes. So if the lunch is a little bit, it'll taste better because of this, maybe. It says here, we're to teach that we're to avoid ungodliness. You have a choice to make. The choice is, there are some ungodly things being done, being said, being perpetrated, being taught. We're to flee those things. We say no to them. We say no to some of these things. Worldly lusts. Did anyone ever tell you what worldly lust means? What the scriptures include? I went to the dictionary, the Bible dictionary. Well, you know what it means? It's the inappropriate searching for wealth. It's the inappropriate searching for pleasure. It's the thing that drives our society, that drives our advertisement. And in the most instances, we don't even catch it. We emulate it. Guy gets promoted. Does not mean that it's good. No. This is what worldly lust is all about. This is what pleasure, hedonism is all about. This is what the world is all about. And there it says it worldly lust. We should live soberly. Meaning we should wake up. Meaning we should understand. Meaning that we should live righteously and godly in this present world. Godly means pleasing God. Righteously means pleasing our neighbor, getting along with our neighbor. What's the other one? Worldly lusts. You know, there is an enemy out there. There's an enemy of your soul. It's not only the world. It's not only Satan. But we ourselves, in ourselves, are sometimes our worst enemy. We are that way. We're made that way. We need to recognize it. We need to... We didn't read it in 1 Corinthians 1, it talks about we're to flee worldly lusts. We're to crucify our flesh. We're to die to the affections of the flesh, to the things that drive us, to the things that motivate. You know, these motivational speakers come around and tell you, oh, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. One other push. Kick someone else over. No. This says we are to avoid those things. Deny ungodliness. That's what this world is all about. And we're to live soberly. There's a yes. There's a positive side to it. And this is what it says. We are to teach. We are to preach. We're to talk about it. So, tip. One of you young brothers is asked next week to have a devotion here at church. Here's a pattern to follow. It says here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the King James. You know what that means? Wanting only good works. Not interested in anything but good works. If it's good, great. If it's right, great. Biblically good. Biblically right. Satan does not mind at all to disturb us in any way. Satan does not mind when a church doesn't get along. Doesn't mind if a husband and wife don't get along. If doesn't mind if children and grandchildren, or parents and children, or if there's a breakdown in the family, or if there's a divorce. No, I wouldn't be surprised that they have fireworks in hell over those kinds of things because of the victory they think they have. No, we need to come to the cross and repair those things. We need to come to the cross and we need to humble ourselves before God. And we who teach, and we who preach, and we who lead, and we who want to do the right things, here it tells us what to do. It says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. You know who the all is? God. God's authority. That's where it is. So, cross, the power of the cross will do it. And brothers, if it wasn't 10 after, I'd ask you to come up here and sing it again. Because I think we need to catch the message that God loves us. And the greatest love that ever was displayed is the mark of the Christian. It's the cross. The world has no use for it. We don't worship the cross, the wooden cross itself. No, but it's the Christ that graced, that gave His life, that suffered on that cross, that bled on that cross, that died on the cross, and looked down and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the cross. That's the Jesus that we want to preach, we want to teach, and we want to follow. We want to worship. See, He might come this year. Amen.